Here we are, episode number 106, Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast. And this week, a fun episode, back to boat talk with Aaron Teal from Intune Marine. And we break down things, all things boat, fiberglass versus aluminum, electronics, used boats, new boats, things like that. Tons of viewer questions on the live stream. If you guys ever want to come join the live streams, they're usually Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. But you can still get this great content listened on the MP3 for it and the podcast, and appreciate you guys too. If you get a chance, if you can hit a thumbs up or a star or a review or whatever you do through your podcast app, it would really help me spread the word on the podcast. But no matter where you listen, we appreciate y'all and enjoy the episode. This week, the Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast is brought to you by Arsenal Fishing. Arsenal Fishing offers premium custom-made performance apparel and tackle. Arsenal delivers a wide variety of custom-designed baits, accessories, and tools, along with unique utilitarian apparel for all outdoor enthusiasts. As part of their support, you can use code HELLEBASS15 to save 15% on all purchases at arsenalfishing.com to support the show. Now let's get back to helping you catch more bass and suck less. All right. Wednesday night. Hellebass Live on our usual night. We're getting some consistency and another great guest after a solo stream last week. Excited to have Aaron join us. Should be a good one. What's up, Aaron?
How's it going, Rich? How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on today. This evening.
Yeah, should be a good time. We're going to set the stage here. We're going to talk boats, bass boats, fishing boats, and then probably just some good general fishing talk. We'll get into that too. So, Should be a fun night. Aaron's caught a few bass in his day, so he's not just a pretty face that sells boats. So we'll even if you're not into boats, stick around. There should be some interesting nuggets. We'll get Aaron to share some juice tonight. Maybe we'll talk about some of that stuff I found in your compartments in that test drive of the Camus.
Oh crap! Yeah, I forgot what you found. So maybe we'll have to retract on that for sure. Yeah. How was that test drive, by the way?
It was good. It was sweet. It was good times.
That boat.
Darius is a big smallie guy on Kentucky Lake. So Aaron loves him some brown fish too. So you guys have that in common.
You're down on Kentucky Lake. Ask him do you know Doug Petrak? He's a guide down there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good old Doug. Yeah. He's not super big on social media, but yeah, he's been down there for a while. I remember fishing against him when we had the weekend series. He's a good dude.
Yeah, no, Doug's a great dude and a good fisherman. He kind of taught me how to fish deep, to be honest with you. He was a big, he's kind of the adult fishing club guy who put on the junior Bassmaster stuff, which kind of, but anyway, I hope Kentucky Lake gets better for you guys down there.
Looks like he does.
Oh, cool. Well, tell Doug I say hi, and hi, Darius.
Way says Boji 39 degrees. I think some people we know were down there last weekend. I'm guessing that's where those pictures came from. Wasn't it like Hayden and Jacob and a few of those guys? I'm guessing they were down that way somewhere close.
Been a heck of a week. I've been meaning to text Hayden to see where he was catching those. I figured it wasn't Shawamigan, so
yeah. they've had a habit of going down to the border lakes on Iowa the last couple of years. So I'm just assuming that's where it is.
I remember heat of COVID, Waldron and I went down there and we had a really good time.
Yeah. I don't know. My phone didn't ring. I don't know. It was weird.
I don't know. I was nobody invited me. I think I hopped in with Waldo, to be honest with you. And, I was bumming the back deck for that. So it's worth every penny though. Hotels were like $13 a night or something because they just were so dead. But anyway,
yeah, it ain't warming up here either. Like I'm thinking, like that rain we had yesterday probably helped quite a bit. But even the 10-day forecast is depressing. It's like 35, 36. You know,
you think the wind would help? There's been plenty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cool, good deal. I assume we sound okay, everybody in the Facebook and YouTube lands. Let us know if we don't sound good, but I'm guessing we do. see. A couple other things I want to talk about tonight. We are going to do a members-only stream. I didn't tell you about this, Aaron. So we're going to take it till about 9:30, and then we're going to jump over and do members-only. So you're more than welcome to join us, Aaron, if your battery lasts that long, to hang out and do a little quick session for the
members-only. How much is membership?
It varies. I think what the least you don't have to be a member to join, Aaron. You can as a guest, you'll be brought in. But then there's several dozen members of the channel. And we just kind of have a more quaint hangout, little after-hour show.
All right.
Because we are going to give away some Arsenal sun gloves tonight in the regular stream, but then we'll have a bonus pair for the members only tonight. So you members in the chat, make sure, and we'll I sent out a notification on that. So that's going to happen tonight. And then always thank Arsenal for supporting the stream and the channel, because if it wasn't for them, it wouldn't be as good a product. So, you know, maybe, Jay, just maybe the members will get a early sneak peek on what I ordered tonight. How about that? All right. Heavy hitters. Yeah, I haven't had time. Work has been crazy that I haven't been able to tune into heavy hitters as much as I wanted to. I haven't even looked. I was going to look tonight to see who was leading and who was doing well, but I haven't had time. There you go, Gators. If you don't win tonight, you know you know where to get them. So yeah, Aaron, I guess give us a little bit of like a little bit of history. Like who's Aaron? A little bit of your background in fishing growing up in central Minnesota.
Yeah, so I grew up in Richmond, Minnesota. Humble beginnings on the horseshoe chain, kind of cut my teeth out there, and really loved fishing from a young age. I owe kind of a lot of it to my grandpa. He's kind of got me into fishing really young, and then I just kind of, when I'm kind of into something, I get really like obsessed with it. So, and fishing was just something that I just keep like diving deeper and deeper and deeper into, and I don't think there's any going back for me. But probably a pivotal thing was that Junior Bassmaster Club, Sean Haig, mm-hmm. Nick Gross, and Doug Petrak, Mike Heinen. Those were kind of the mentors who brought, you know, me and some of my buddies up into tournament fishing. And Mark Shirley, who's a really good friend of mine, him and I fished in the same kind of junior bass club together, and we're pretty competitive. So I get obsessed with stuff. So I've been obsessed ever since, and just have kind of continued to do it. And that's kind of where it started, though, was from that junior bass program. And then it really boiled into, I fished a lot of team tournaments with Mark Shirley and Nick Gross, and that was kind of got into traveling a little bit more, things like that. And then recently, Dane Veselka, a guy I graduated college with, we kind of became tournament partners due to living together in proximity, and we kind of hit it off ever since, and fishing like NABC's Team Trail. You know, there used to be the Big Bass Bonanzas. We used to fish those. Seth mm-hmm. used, I remember Seth Fighter used to fish those. That was pretty cool stuff. So Denny's and whatnot. And just always had a passion for fishing, tournament fishing, and kind of been fortunate to have a really cool spot in Tune Marine who's kind of sponsored me since I was like 15 years old and couldn't afford a lower unit. It's been really cool to be able to have the opportunity there, selling boats and kind of, having my passion at work too. So I've kind of turned into just my life is, you know, boat sales and, tournament bass fishing. That's basically, and then eating some food as well.
Occasionally, just to stay alive.
Yeah, but there's so many cool people in that world, I guess, that I live in. So I'm very lucky, very blessed. So,
Right on. And not humble, like Aaron catches them pretty good. He does all right in tournaments. He does okay from time to time.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. And I guess I don't feel like I have like the natural knack for it, like that, like a Seth Fighter or a Rich. I hear you're quite the natural.
I'm just old, got a lot of experience.
Yeah. So I try to make up for that with like working extra hard. So like spending just copious amounts of time with research before an event, spending that extra time on the water. Most guys put their boat on the trailer at, you know, six. I feel in order for me to compete, I got to be out there past dark. So I try to do that a lot of times. So I guess that's kind of what I credit a lot of, I guess, the success I have had. But you learn through a lot of failure, too, with these tournaments. It's a humbling sport.
Yeah, even the greatest, right? They win, like... 5% of the time, or I mean, like that's right. Like world class, right? Or like, you know, so
isn't KVD 1% of the time? Like, or he's fished so many tournaments, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Jason Christie's batting a pretty good percentage right now,
yeah, but cool, very cool,
yeah.
All right, so just for the people coming in late here, we're going to talk a little bit of fishing, we'll talk a little bit about boats, all kinds of things. So I guess let's maybe talk. You kind of mentioned that you're one of the sales guys or head sales manager at what's your official position at Intune?
So I'm the sales manager. I started there about 7 years ago, and we were just out at a farm north of Cold Spring when I started there. And we started out, we're selling Triton boats and Palm Beach pontoons. And I was when I started, I was the website guy, marketing guy, and sales guy kind of thing. And you know, that same year I kind of started, they were growing into that new facility, and you know, I was kind of the fishing boat sales guy who sold pontoons and, you know, things like that as well for a number of years. And then the last 2-3 years I stepped, or I guess took the role as sales manager. And then we've got two sales guys right now, Colin and Brian Bankston. Basshead's might know him. And then we've got a marketing guy, JP, who does our videos. He does an excellent job with our website and videos. And Cole Dingman, finance guy on our team. And then we've got a sales assistant, Cowboy, who does a great job, and detailer. And we're bringing on, we've got another sales guy starting in June. So, yeah, so I'm kind of selling and managing kind of that department. So I don't sell as much as I used to, not even close. And I'm kind of working my way towards that management role, I guess, as we continue to grow like we have.
Sycamore, I hope it's just you. So if you're watching on mobile, maybe hit those the little settings knob. Sometimes mobile defaults to a lower, like a 140 or 240. If you change it to like 480 or 720, you should get a better picture. That's a good question. How far back is the weight on new boats? Like, what is, it definitely varies by brand, I think, but like generally what's the range if somebody walks in today, like what's the range that they could expect on a new boat?
Sure. No, that's a great question. And that is somewhat of a moving target, just as a prelude, I guess. And it depends a little bit on the boat and the brand and stuff. So I'm going to just go ahead and give you a range of about probably 12 to 14 weeks at the soonest, that's probably the soonest you'd see something. And some particular boats are out, you know, into August and September. So, and October. So it depends what you're getting. Yamahas have been extremely tough right now. Specifically, if you order a boat with a Yamaha, those have been tougher. Unfortunately, Yamaha is a great motor, so that's been tough for, you know, a few of our kind of customers. But Mercs have been pretty good, and boat brands and models kind of depends. But there's some models you can get 12 to 14 weeks out, I guess.
Nice. Yeah. Trey says 16 to 20 on a bird for him.
Gotcha. Phoenix has been pretty good, and I guess at that 16 mark for us. And then we've seen a few in that 14 week period, but Phoenix has been running strong on 16 weeks, unless right now, like, there's a few pretty crucial items that have been tougher to get for some manufacturers. So, you know, it depends when you ordered that boat, I guess, sir, and how that all went.
Yeah, and it varies, right? Like, yeah, like, and there's definitely been, I mean, nothing against Yamaha or Skeeter, but some of those packages, definitely, I've heard from friends that just, like, the motors are just, for whatever reason, supply chain on the Yamaha has been tough, and it's not a knock against what they're doing. No. They're kind of just getting hamstrung by the supply chain, I'm guessing, and it's just a tough situation.
Yeah, and that's no knock on the Yamaha product or anything like that. Honestly, we love Yamahas as much as anybody. They're a great motor, and yeah, they just, like, gonna call a spade, they've been tougher to get.
Yeah. And is there any difference between model or, like, Triton wait times?
Tritons are, it does depend on the model. Okay. We've been looking at 14 weeks for the most part, but right now we've just seen kind of a crunch with some of the supply, and yeah, so it's going to depend on a lot of the parts that they're using within the boat and whether they're able to get those. But best case scenario, probably 14 weeks on that Triton. Worst case, probably 16 to 20. We're working on better communication there.
Sure. Sean says, ordered November. His boat just came in last week.
Yeah, and there was a period of time where there was some certain engines that were tough to get, for sure. And there's been certain parts that have been extremely tough to get. So, yeah, I believe that boat did show up that last week. And I'm not going to lie to you, Sean, she's drop dead beautiful.
Awesome. Well, that's a good question here. Looking for a used boat later this spring. What's a good hull in the 150 to 175? So we're probably talking 18 to 19 footers.
Okay.
Right. For, I mean, I would guess most, right, for 150 to 175, you're looking at 18 to 19 footers usually.
Yep.
Boy, there's a lot of good options out there. I mean, it really depends on your budget, right? I mean, I
agreed.
It's a little bit limiting of a question, Dylan. Maybe you could re-ask it with your budget, because that would maybe drive, like, the year, the era of what you want to look for a little bit. Because, like, you could say, you could say a used Phoenix would be a great option if you had a good budget, but, you know, there's not that many, like, old Phoenixes. So if your budget was like 20, then that would kind of throw Phoenixes out. You'd have to
look right, at, you
know,
right,
Mascat or Triton or something like that, you know, like, so we need a little more information.
Right. Right. The older Rangers, if you can find a good, well taken care of older Ranger, those are pretty solid boats and they hold their resale really well. The older Tritons are really good boats. They were always very good in that, you know, 18 to 19 foot class. And those have carried really good resale as well. You find an old Champ, you know, that's well taken care of. That's a really good haul. You find a well taken care of Skeeter, old Skeeter. That's good haul, you know?
There's probably maybe just a couple year models and classes of certain brands to maybe watch out for. But overall, I think in the last 20 years, there's not a lot of.
Yeah. There was when I started selling boats about 7 years ago, the Triton 189 TRX, you know, had a little bit wide. It was a little bit wider, 18 foot boat, and it had it has a pretty nice chisel. So I was really impressed with, like, how that boat rode for its, you know, how short it was and, you know, how much space you got up top. So, like, there's, you know, some really good used options. Like, if you're looking at a newer, you know, boat with that engine size, those newer options, there's, you know, some wider ones that may not be as deep, you know, so that's going to give you a good stable platform, but it's maybe not going to land as soft, but it's maybe going to be very stable. I mean, you can get into so many things, but ultimately condition is probably the thing I would look at the most, along with the end, like which engine it's gotten, how much use is on it, and things yeah. like that.
So it looks like
look about and 10, use, that's big deal.
10 grand is your budget. So honestly,
10 grand. Yep.
You know, you might even consider something like a used Bass Tracker. Like you could probably get more boat, like a used, I don't know, maybe did they make like a 18 or 19 foot Bass Tracker that you'd put a 150 on or something like that?
That's
I'm not sure if they do or not, but like otherwise, yeah. I mean, at 10 grand, you're looking at probably what, an early 2000, late 90s boat.
Late 90s boat. Yep. And, you know, you're just dealing with more use on a boat like that. So basically I would look at engine and structural condition on that hull and make sure the trailer's okay.
Yeah. Do the research on the motor.
Yep.
Because, you know, in that time frame, you're, you know, like some of those late Mercury FIs were really strong motors back then.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, so just kind of look, you just want to make sure you avoid some of the, you know, like the first year opties and like the first year, you know, fix and or you know some of those first yeah. year, you just got to kind of watch the years of the motors and then do your research on a place like Bass Boat Central and see where some of those motors had some gaps when they first came out. That's probably the biggest thing.
Yep. And our website at Inteam does have a texting feature, so it, like if you had a quick question about them, like a motor, if you have the model of motor and the year and the model number, you could probably just shoot us a text and our service department would probably get back to you within a day and a half on, you know, what they see for issues. I'm very lucky to be at Intune. Our guys have seen a lot of engines. So they, you know, the guys who see the most engines know the most about them. Right. So.
Yeah. There was one good comment here. Sean said, if I ordered a Camus or an X-Pride B right now, what would come first?
Ooh, I don't carry X-Prides, but
no, well, that's a being that's a rod.
My first question is, can you only get a Yamaha on an X?
The X-Pride B is a Shimano rod, I think.
Shimano. I didn't even read it right. Yeah. It was Express, my bad.
So somebody else said for sure a Camus.
Yeah, Camus has been very good with delivery times as far as like not being insanely crazy. Everything's running a little bit behind right now, but they've been pretty good.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know if you know all the boats, but like maybe the 20 footers that you guys carry, what has the biggest front deck?
Under 20 foot. So we're talking...
So I guess I would say 20 and under, probably.
20 maybe. And under. Okay.
So it's probably 20s. So yep. Exclude the 21s.
So I think the Vexus VX20 is probably going to have the biggest front deck, along with a 920 Elite and a CX20. They're all within 4 inches of each other for the most part. 4 or 5 inches. But it depends on the Phoenix model. Phoenix has a fair amount of models. The CX19 deck is the biggest deck we carry in the 19-foot class, probably followed by the Vexus AVX 1980. So if we're talking aluminum 19-foot boats, that's got a very long deck, so that's worth mentioning.
And it's kind of like, is it like, are we talking the widest? Are we talking the most square inches? Are we talking the long? Like, it's a little bit of a, depends on how you want to skin that cat a little bit. So
you kind of got two theories on it, right? You've got your Greg Hackney theory, which is he likes a narrower deck. He fishes off a 721 Phoenix Pro XP. He likes that narrower deck. A narrow deck does not ride typically bad. Typically, you know, anytime you add more width to a hull, it seems like you don't add depth along with that. You know, it doesn't make the boat ride better necessarily up at that bow. So like you'll notice with a Camus, they've got a very wide bow and a deeper deck. A Phoenix, they maybe don't have as deep of dead rise, but that deck narrows off a little bit better and they ride very soft. But a lot of that has to do with fuel cell placement. So like your Camus and your Vexus fiberglass boats are going to put the fuel cell longitudinally in the floor, kind of ahead of the seats, versus like the Phoenix, they put the fuel tank, you know, perpendicular to the boat behind the seats. So you're going to notice differences in each hull kind of depending on that, because of just simply due to room with that. So losing my train of thought there a little bit, or I think I got off on a little bit of a tangent, but yeah. Where are we at? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We're kind of just talking about like just saying bigger. It's like, what do you really mean? Right. Longer, wider, total square inches.
Yeah. And, so deck,
and that's where you're kind of talking about that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, you've got your Greg Hackney theory. He likes a narrower deck because the boat's not in his way as much when he's at the trolling motor making casts. Right. So he likes that narrower deck, which like a Phoenix 721 would give you, or like a AVX 1980, you know, if you're casting in the front of the boat with a roll cast, you don't need to lean to the side. So I think there's something to do with that. And then you've got your wider deck theory. If you're flipping milfoil and the wind's blowing one way and you got two guys in the boat, it's really nice to sit them both side by side, especially if you're on a lake like Mille Lacs and you're fishing a particular specific spot. If you're just out fun fishing with the guy, you don't typically want to back boat him as much as maybe the state tournament, right?
Unless it's banger.
Right. Unless it's banger. Yep. Cause he's just going to huck a topwater out the back anyway.
Or if you're like Brian Thrift and you have to, if you have to have 30 rods on the front deck all laid out, not touching each other, then you need an extra wide front.
That's deck. Part of that wider deck theory too. Yep. And you know, we're very lucky. The boats we carry, you know, that do carry that wider beam, they've got a very nice dead rise or depth to that hull to carry that wide beam. So it's not just a belly flop, so to speak. It's actually, you know, cresting the waves.
Cool. All right. There was one early question. Going to Pickwick to Marshall for the Elites. Pickwick's on my bucket lake list. Would it be wrong for me to take my boat and make some casts? I assume you're either talking during the practice and when you're not out, right? Obviously you can't, obviously in your boat, you're not talking about marshalling, but yeah, I don't think so. I mean, like I would go out of my way to stay away from where other people are fishing in practice. I would rather have somebody, if I'm a tournament angler, I'd rather see people out there fishing during practice than out there fishing during the tournament. So I guess if you can give them room, you know, it's public waterways. There's going to be other people out fishing. I mean, it's a trip and experience for you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I would definitely try to do my best to stay out of the way. I definitely wouldn't be fishing anywhere near where other tournament anglers are. And some people will make the argument, you never know when somebody's going to show up in the pocket you're in or wanted to fish that, but that can happen. I don't think you can limit yourself. You know, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it may not be your thing, right? You may not do it, but I wouldn't knock anybody else for doing it, I guess.
Pickwick's such a different animal than I'm used to dealing with. I'm trying to think about like a giant lake here, like Minnetonka, you know, like there's guides out there every day anyway. Like if it's Tonka, like have at it, right?
That's but the thing. Pickwick's going
to smaller lake and there's not,
there's going to be, there's going to be 100 boats out there anyways.
Right. I mean, right. So as long as you're not in, yeah, somebody's whole derby day, it's probably okay.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you catch a few fish, and if you're in an area where you see other boats, maybe don't stand there and wear out a school.
right.
Somebody else might be trying to come back to you for tournaments.
Catching
a few fish here and there. And I think that's – I mean, when I went to Amistad, one of the first years of the Elite, and I marshaled – not marshaled, I actually co-angled. And I went back out with one of my buddies during, like, the top – it was the final day, top 10 day. And so it's 10 guys. Amistad's massive. We made sure we went, didn't see anybody. But then actually I ran into Kurt Dove, who was an Elite Series angler, and he was out there fishing, you know? So, sure. I mean, like, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that.
No. And on a lake like that, I really don't either. No.
Here's a good question from Michael. If you have cash in hand and you find a boat in the showroom, can you just walk away with it, or how does that work?
I mean, we typically like to take care of you if it's, you know, rigged with the stuff you need and all we got to do is throw some gas in it and check through some things. You can do that.
Well, I mean, you guys do sell
right now, but
the models you have, I mean, you don't guys have like a ton of models on floor, but you will sell the ones on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we can turn a floor model around pretty quickly unless you need to add 12 graphs to it. And if you need to order an Ultrex, that's a little tougher right now.
I liked my Pantera. It was a good boat. I caught a ton of bass out of it, had a lot of success at it. It really was just a matter of I wanted to step up a little bit from a straight 19 footer to something that was a little wider, a little bigger, a little newer. And so that put me in the market for some other options. I think the new Panteras are, I would bet that the new Panteras carry waves better than my 2005 did. They probably made some tweaks and refinements to the hull from 2005. It did okay in big water, but you definitely had to know how to drive it or you were going to beat yourself up. And part of that was like a 2005 boat. When you start hitting waves, you start hearing things like rattle and move and things like that. And so there was times I just felt like sometimes on big water, like Leech, when it was blowing, I was losing fishing time that I kind of hope I had back with, by getting a newer, slightly bigger boat, but no knocks on it. I mean, it's a great boat. The only thing I would say, I feel like Basscats are a little bit of a young man's boat or not, maybe a little bit. I mean, the one thing that you will notice, especially in a Pantera, is the foot pedal of the trolling motor is there is not a boat brand that has a foot pedal further front than a Basscat. You are literally standing on the nose. So if you're a person that doesn't have good stability or you need something to lean on or you kind of like stumble or you're worried about like I always told my dad, you don't want a Basscat. Like that's where you are in your life and how you like to fish. You don't want a Basscat anymore. But and I wouldn't say that's a knock. That's just one thing to be cognizant of as a feature.
I've always wanted to drive one of those. It seems like it's kind of a love it or hate it boat, but I've always kind of
they do a lot of really unique things with some of their designs. They do some things that like you have those triangle compartments and some of their custom latches and things, and it's like you're either going to love it or it's not going to be your thing.
Right. Yeah, I have never fished out of one.
Sean wants to know, is there any brand of boat that you'd want to add that's not around here?
Oof. Honestly, no. I feel very lucky with who we've got. And I don't think there's much of a basis we don't have covered. I mean, that's not being covered in our immediate area very good. Unless Phoenix comes out with a walleye haul, I guess not really. No, we're very, we get kind of pick of the litter on brands. We, within reason, right? Within our area and stuff. And, the brands we have, we're hand selected. So,
yeah, very cool. I feel you, AJ. The way the government like snuck that early tax credit from the children on me, and I didn't even realize it was getting deposited in my bank account, kind of hosed my taxes.
Dude, taxes are brutal this year. Not a fan.
So speaking of, you're talking about our area, like how far do you, I mean, like what's kind of like some of the furthest places people have bought boats from you? So you're in basically, if people don't know, Richmond is kind of near St. Cloud, like right in the middle of, it's couldn't be more central Minnesota than central gets. Like what are some places people have come from to buy a boat from Intune?
Oh man. So we're delivering one to San Gabriel, California next week, which is crazy. Big shout out to JP. He runs and does our YouTube channel and he does a great job. And I think, and then we've had people drive from like Colorado, Louisiana, Arizona, Maine. I think those would be the furthest spots anyway. But I've been trying to do like a state by state, like a map with pins, but I don't have time. It's a lot of work to look back on, but we've been very fortunate. And our sales team's very fortunate to have like my bosses in the service department who, you know, take care of those people, because it is tough to sell long distance, especially a product like a boat where, you know, their boats have more issues than like a car, just to be straight with everybody, like they do. So there is more service needed after most of the sales, you know, with boats, not because your boat's going to just break and be bad, but, you know, maybe this switch goes bad. Maybe, you know, it's some, it's usually little stuff, but we're very good at that, I guess. And we don't really like try to do that. We don't undercut on price as far as like outside our territory. That's a big thing for us. But if you're willing to drive up here, like we'll put you up for a night. That's no biggie.
Thomas says he's going to get a price on a Triton. And then Joseph said he got his Triton from, he's from Council Bluffs, Iowa.
What's going on, Joe? Joe's a good dude. Yep, one of the best. Joe's a great dude. Joe, you got to make it up to Bogie right now. I hear it's open. Yeah, Joe's got a 189 TRX. Nice. Yeah, which that's a really good boat. We've got a used one, actually. It just became available the other day. So if any, yeah, that's a good boat. So
Andrew says he's heard that birds have the same back deck across different model lengths.
Ooh, I've been measuring those a lot. So what I know for a fact with the birds is the cockpit size is the same, no matter what. So they don't penalize you for getting an 18-foot boat if you're, you know, 6'3 or something. That's kind of the good news. So you don't have to, like, hug, you know, the console. And so their consoles are the same size. Their back decks, I think, are going to be real close to the same size. Besides that, like, 818 and down, I think, because the fuel tank, I think, is a little bit smaller. So, but you could probably measure their back decks by the fuel tank rating, if I was to guess, and that would probably be, he's probably pretty spot on. I just haven't measured it myself, but I think, yeah, those 19 foot and ups, I think you're right. And the only thing would be that 18 foot and down due to the fuel tank size, but yeah, it's spot on, Andrew.
Is there a certain model in the used market that has a bigger cockpit area?
Oh, that Phoenix, you know, they've always known to have that same cockpit size. If we're talking 18, like if you got a 21 foot boat, odds are the cockpit's pretty big. And the 20 foot boat category is going to depend on how big the front deck is and the back deck. And that's basically how you get, you know, your cockpit size is the bigger the front deck, you know, the overall length of the boat, you can split it three ways basically. So, like the Triton 20 TRX was known as, like, it's a very huge deck and that cockpit is adequate, but it's not like the 21 Triton, the cockpit gets bigger, you know, versus the Phoenix is the same size. So the Ranger cockpits have always been known to be pretty spacious if you're looking used. I can't speak for Skeeter enough. I'm not sure with those, but the Triton cockpits, I mean, typically are pretty, you know, sizable if you're looking used, a Phoenix cockpit or Ranger cockpit. Yeah. That Blazer cockpit we have in the showroom's not too bad. I need to know his actual name, not his username. Sorry, Tucker 1104.
All right, we got appreciate it though.
Thank you.
Lauren says, if I bought a used boat and financed through your lenders, is there a way to upgrade all electronics and trolling motor under one loan?
If it's on the same purchase agreement as the boat, so if we combine it with the boat, absolutely.
So you can kind of come in, you see a used boat and say, I want to add these things and upgrade, and then you kind of roll that into one purchase price.
Yep. So we, like at Intune, we're very customizable. We're not like cookie cutter boats. Sure. Spot. We can custom rig that boat exactly how you want it. So we're lucky to have a lot of good lenders that, you know, allow us you know, to work with that. So, you know, if you want 2 12s, one brand of this, one brand of this on this brand amount, we can do that. If you want your live scope kind of custom and different than just on the trolling motor, we can do that along with on the trolling motor. We've been rigging a lot of like 5 or 6 graphs on these big walleye boats lately, along with, you know, autopilot systems on the kickers and things like that. So that's very important that we're able to finance that, you know, with the boat. So that's no problem at all.
Nice. Good to see. We're a little over 100 live. So thanks, everybody.
Oh, cool. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Awesome.
I guess if you guys think about it, hit the like button. I always forget to ask, but if you guys can think about it, doesn't cost you anything, helps the channel, helps people find it. Brian says, buy a new repower or buy a new to you boat. I think that really comes down to, and I faced this dilemma like 2 seasons ago when I had my Mercury started with a knock, which and I had to make a decision. And for me, that hull wasn't going to be my long-term hull. I knew that I didn't want to spend the next 10 plus years in that hull. So for me, it was an easy decision to rebuild, right? Or find a different used motor. I wasn't going to put a 2020-21, you know, brand new motor on that boat. But let's say you have, you know, you got a champion boat or a Ranger or a Phoenix that you absolutely love, and you love that hull, the hull's in great shape, then I think, and you plan on being it in 10 years, then I think repowering makes a lot of sense.
I think that's spot on. It completely depends how long you want to keep that boat for. If you don't want to keep that boat,
are we talking like repower a 5-year-old boat, or are we talking a 15-year-old boat, right? Because like, I think if you have a 5-year gap on your boat motor, that's not a big deal. But when it starts to get 10 plus, then you're never going to get that money back on resale, I don't think.
Yeah. You know, if you're a buyer, that's not a bad thing to look for, because typically the sell price isn't going to be as like as good as you paid for that motor and that original boat. So, but if you're planning to keep the boat for a long period of time, and you love that boat, and you know, like my dad, for example, he loves his deck boat, and you know, he's got an O2 deck boat, loves it, and he's gonna repower it because, you know, he loves that boat and he wants to keep it forever. You know, if you've got that, you know, 99 Ranger that you kept in the garage for forever, and it's mint, and you waxed it every week of your life, and it's your pride and joy, but you got a, you know, a carbureted Evinrude with some plastic parts in it and they go bad and stuff, and you know, that might be a good idea to repower. But with the used boat market, you can get good enough resale typically with what you've got, even shell that might be better sometimes. So but then you got to buy something, and that's tough right now because there's not a lot of inventory. So I get it.
Yeah. Good to hear, Timothy. I heard you had some storms or something. You left a comment the other day. So glad you're doing all right.
No blizzards this year, right?
Yeah. I think they're dealing with some severe weather though.
Gotcha.
Last night, maybe. Let's see here. Fishing question. Southern Wisconsin or they're all good. I mean, like, oof. I guess it depends on, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't mind going out to South Dakota, going to Iowa, going down to the river. I mean, there's no wrong answer for me. I guess it's just whatever I had time for and who wanted to go and which buddy wanted to hop in the boat.
For me, it's IA or SD, and I won't mention many names after that, but like Northern Iowa and South Dakota are,
yeah, and that's just because you're a little bit closer
states
to,
for fishing. They're
geographically South Dakota's a lot closer for you.
But yeah.
Whereas the river is like an hour and 20 minutes for me. So
yeah, and that's like if we're talking Southern Wisconsin, I mean, that's four plus probably for me. So
top 5 shallow fishing boat brand series fiberglass under 21 foot.
Okay.
maybe 2 or 3. I don't know. We need 5.
I give you 5. Okay. Top one is probably going to be a AVX 1980 from Vexus, or a Phoenix Elite, or a Camus would be my guess, with even a, So I'm going to roll with a ABX 1980, a Phoenix Elite 920, and a Caymus CX20. As if we're shallow fishing, those are the three boats I would choose from.
They're all shallow boats. All we're doing. Deck plate.
That's just it. Like that, even that Vexus BX, that you know, very spacious large bass boat, it looks like it wouldn't draft that shallow, but I was very blown away at how shallow that drafted, even so.
It's an interesting question from Chris. Is a lot of idling bad for a motor?
Ooh, that's a really good question. And I'm not a boat mechanic, but what I do know is it depends on the motor. So a two-stroke is not going to like to idle as much versus a four-stroke doesn't mind idling as much. But if that's all you're doing with it, you know, it's not necessarily good your engine's designed to have a, you know, a power band range, and it anytime you're only working those engine parts in one range, you know, if my grandma's only driving her Buick in town, you know, she would always tell me, her mechanic would tell her, hey, don't be afraid to open that thing up a little bit once in a while. And I think it's probably to work them parts throughout that power band range. So, but a four stroke is going to idle much better than a two stroke for like long periods of time.
Yeah.
Two stroke light will fine. It's just if that's all you're doing with it, it's not good for it.
I would guess, in general, not a boat mechanic either, but I would guess older boats, older motors would have more issues, and newer motors would have less issues with that, I would guess.
For sure. Fuel injected is going to be, you know, idle better than a carbureted motor all day. Four stroke's going to idle and do less damage than two stroke for long periods of time, as a general rule of thumb. This is not financial advice. I'm not a boating mechanic. Yeah.
But I think back to that, anytime you can go out and open it up every now and then is probably a good thing, at least a little bit. Jordan, I wish they'd all come back. I honestly sad to see how that all went down with all those brands. That's kind of sad, honestly. Like,
yeah, honestly, that's a great especially question. Especially
the Legend and Champion. I don't know. Like,
I mean, yeah, the Legends are such a cool boat. We've had a couple come through. Waldron picked up one of them, you know, and the Stratus, you know, I've got a soft spot in my heart for Stratus. The first bass boat I ever had was a 98 Stratus. So,
I mean, because I guess it's, to me, it's like it'd been one thing if those brands just didn't make it, but they were all acquired and then shut mothballed for market reasons.
Yeah. Yep, the old boat business conglomeration. Yeah, it happens a lot in the boat business. It's crazy. And Champion, I mean, yeah, Champion should come back for sure.
What are you running, Aaron, for those that don't know?
So I've been very fortunate. I don't own a boat, but with where I work, I'm allowed to use a boat. So that's been, you know, a big reason why I do what I do as well. So I've run a Triton for a number of years, and then I've run a Phoenix, a Vexus, and this year I'm going to be running a Vexus again. And then I'm hoping to hop in a Caymus CX21 a little bit too. Our marketing guys maybe probably going to take that one a little bit more, but hoping to get some seat time in that Caymus CX21. That's like kind of only 21 foot boat we carry that I haven't had like an amazing amount of seat time in, but I know like where they come from. So I kind of really just want to see what that one does, but I'll be running a Vexus VX20 this year, which is a really more than I could ever dream of to fish off of, to be honest. I'm not a picky guy when it comes to that. I would fish off a 96 Nitro if they made them back then. I don't know, but
So that's what you ran last year, was the VX20?
Yep, I ran a VX20 last year, and Phoenix VX Tandem kind of the year before that. But last year I kind of ran that VX20 and a CX20. I fished a few tournaments out of a CX20. I fished the championship at the Classic Bass One out of Bankston's boat. that 21 PHX Phoenix. Cause I had that bolt on the tilt and trim came out on my Mercury on the only day of practice we had for that event. So that was, it was nice to idle for that whole day, but
Wander Burnett, Aaron's not picky.
No. Yeah. Well, like, you know, with the brands we have, I'm not picky at all. Like, yeah. I feel like just, I love the brands we have. So honestly, I'm not, but, yeah, I'm kind of spoiled. So, with that, but yeah, Vexus has a really good contingency program. That's partially why I'm doing it. Like, they got that Rev Rewards program to match your winnings up to 10 grand. So, you know, if I get lucky and all those guys, you know, happen to not catch them or something, there's some bonus stuff there. Camus has also a really good program along with Phoenix. If you fish like BFLs and river stuff, that Phoenix Camus stuff is like epic, really good contingency programs. So it just kind of depends what you're doing. I wouldn't buy a boat necessarily just strictly on that. As we know, some of the best in the sport win 1-5% of the time. So you got to get the boat that's right for you. Yeah. But
it's a tiebreaker at best.
It is. Yeah. So I fish a lot of big water and I have a bad back. So like, I like that Vexus boat. It has those airwave pedestals in it. So it gives my back a little bit of shock relief. I broke like 11 vertebrae in it. So that's a huge help. But I ran Bankston's PHX and the rough stuff on Mille Lacs for that championship last year. And I was like blown away at how soft that thing landed. And I came from a Triton, so I know what Earl Bentz designs, which is a very soft rotting hull. So I'm excited to get in that CX21 and see what that thing can do too. Cause the Camus CX21, Earl's got those patented shock absorbers in the seats. And and he's got a deep chisel, so it lands soft here, but if you take a wave wrong here or here, you know, those shock absorbers in the seats really seem to help.
Yeah. I've heard some guys, especially in the Northeast, that, you know, fish like St. Lawrence and Ontario and that kind of stuff, that the Camus CX21 is getting a lot of, like, it's kind of blowing up there for big water. People are impressed.
Doesn't surprise me. That Triton was always like an amazing riding boat if you're going into the wind or with the wind, but it had a little bit more narrow center of gravity. So like when you're crossing boat wakes, you know, if you're riding in the rough stuff, it's, you know, quartering more so, and you took waves on the side, it sometimes would hit a little bit harder in that Camus. They widen that pad out. Earl's building a lot of saltwater boats. So they widen that pad out, so it's carrying a tournament load really better than everybody else, just to be honest, as far as like carrying a load. And Earl's always known for a soft riding boat, so it's been a more stable hull in those conditions, and I'm guessing it's going to land really soft as they've been known to.
Yeah, very cool. Backlash Pro. That's awesome. Thank you, buddy. Not needed, but always appreciated for the donation. Glad you're enjoying and getting some value from the stream tonight. We think of express boats. I think they're intriguing. I've never honestly seen one in person. Someday I'd like to ride in one just to check it out. I'd love to check them out on some waves to see what they're all about. But other than that, I don't really have an opinion other than they look pretty sweet.
Yeah. And, so we don't have a lot of express dealers up here. So I guess the big thing is you do want to, I think having a dealer close by isn't a bad thing. Express, what I will say is like, it's a very good haul and it's a very well known to be a good aluminum haul. And I'm not going to speak poorly about any brand on here. That's not what I'm here to do. I guess what I can tell you maybe to elaborate on that is they've got a very good haul and, you know, Vexus is going to also have a very good haul, pad bottom, things like that. So an Express and a Vexus are going to be really good as far as the haul goes. Where the Vexus is extremely good is it's got a very spacious storage along with dryer storage. So like the finish work within the storage and the ability to keep moisture out along with the amount of storage is going to be really good in the Vexus. And then the Express and the Vexus are going to be both probably premium aluminum hulls, I would call them.
I would say that I think, not to knock Express, I think what they would say is Vexus is a little more refined on the top cap of the boat, right? Like the finish.
Yeah.
And I think Express is doing a lot of things. I remember I watched a video with Christy. He's like, I had him change this and I had him change this. And so it's things they're working on.
Totally.
Yeah.
And Ruben, nothing to knock on those boats, I guess. Yeah.
And to point Aaron's point, I don't think we would bash anybody, but I think anybody that's still around in this market probably makes a pretty good product. Like the brands that weren't very reliable, I think are gone at this point. They probably didn't make it. Lund makes a great boat. Kind of a unique proposition where they're at. They make some things that are pretty unique to what they do. There's not a lot of competition for their exact models and hulls, I think.
I agree. And I think, I've always said this about Vexus, and they don't really have anything necessarily that they directly compete against where you can really apples to apples it. And Lund is kind of that way with that Pro V Bass. And I think probably a cool layout if you're looking at it is Lund with that Pro V. They have that jump seat configuration, and I don't mind talking about it because we don't sell anything like it, so whatever. That jump seat configuration where it's a bass boat with dual more cockpit seating seems to be a happy compromise if mom isn't totally about buying the boat. But I think when you're looking at ride quality and truly rough water ride, from what I've learned, there is a lot to that pad bottom design versus more of a rounded bottom. And then you've got your rivet guys and you got your weld guys. And I guess all I can speak of is welds, but I know a weld is easier to fix than a rivet. But at the end of the day, Lund builds great resale into their products generally. So that, it's more of a personal preference thing, but I'll just go out and say it. I do think the AVX Vexus is the best riding aluminum boat made after driving all three of those brands. Now, I haven't been out in all wave conditions, so that's just with what I've experienced. But I don't think that it's a bad boat by any means. And I would look at condition and how well taken care of that boat is, just because of the components that are throughout that boat. There's components on boats that wear and tear easier, and then there's components that don't. So, and each boat brand is going to have components that wear and tear on their boats, no matter the brand. So you want to look for those wear and tear components, whether it's, a dash and how that dash is made, what that's made out of. Boats are sitting in the sun a lot, and boats receive, a lot of moisture. So looking at lids, looking at, what they're putting inside the boats to finish them out and do those types of things, is you kind of want to train your eye just a touch smaller in terms of that stuff.
Yeah. And this thing is like I would say Lund is just, they have a little bit different style and feel. Like they're a little bit, they still lean a little bit multi-species. There's even the Bass is still a little more open cockpit layout. It's a little, I would say it's probably a little more family friendly. If you're going to bring three kids in your boat, that Lund might be a really good option. Be a little more fit your style more than a Vexus or something, like a Vexus aluminum or something. So just got to really look at, every boat has its pros and limitations. I wouldn't say cons, but like different configurations that are positives depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, it's got to be your boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Repower. And, that's a very responsible economical decision, Jay. Much more responsible economic decision than I've recently made.
I put a 250 on it, but that's just me.
Well, he wouldn't be able to fish in his tiny boat tournaments with his 12 foot boat. But
see, tiny boats are cool. And, the big thing about tiny boats, the only annoying thing about tiny boats is having to pull that old carbureted two stroke. So fuel injected 25 horse four stroke outboard is going to keep you having a lot of fun for like way more summers than the old ones.
Yeah. And I think Jay, for 90% of the stuff that we fish in Minnesota, this is spot on.
it depends if he's done it before or not.
No, what I'm saying, like an aluminum, like a, just a fishing boat, like
right.
like we're talking about mainly bass boats tonight because there's a little bit of the audience, but you don't need a bass boat. You don't, I mean, you know, like you can go out and catch a ton of fish in your boat and in boats that are, you know, it's just kind of what you want to do. And there's, like I said, 90% of our 10,000 lakes, a 14, 16 footer with a 25 or 40 horse will get it done for sure.
I started out in a paddle boat with a buzz bait. So, and I caught some bass, so I just couldn't go that far. So it just depends. Like, yeah, you're 14 footer. You're just not going to be able to fish Mille Lacs when it's blowing 10 for smallmouth. At least, you know, not far from the ramp. So it just depends, you know, where you want to go and what you want to do with the boat ultimately. Cause, yeah, it's going to keep you fishing and keep you comfortable doing it.
So yeah, without getting into specifics, my plan is to, I'll run two graphs at the dash. It'll probably be two 10 inch graphs. I like having two screens. You definitely could get by with like a single 12 or something like that, but I like to be able to sometimes run two different maps on full screen, like on the river. I love running Navionics and a Lake Master. There's a little bit of a hint on my electronics. but there's things I like about having two. And then I like the redundancy. So if you ever have a power or a screen go out on 110, you still have another 10 that'll totally get by, right? So I like having that redundancy. Or if your front unit goes down, you can take one off the dash and plug it in up front. So I like having that extra graph from a tournament perspective. Now, if you're fun fishing, that's probably not as big a deal, but in the tournaments, I like having an extra graph that I can move around in a pinch. And then up front, I'm going to start with a single 12, but I am going to wire it for a front facing graph to add later.
I can't remember. Are you you're running all birds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good setup then. Yeah.
Yeah, do you guys sell Suzukis, right? Like, have you sold any of the new two? Have you sold any of the new 250s or?
No, we haven't yet. But I guess I know what's different about them. I guess compared to the old ones, I don't think it's going to be a life changing difference from the old ones. The biggest thing they did was they added low water pickups to that lower unit, so you're able to run that outboard a little bit higher and pick a little bit more RPMs up and a little bit more bite with the prop and water pressure and whatnot to keep that lower unit good. Cause typically Suzuki's like to run fairly low. So, and they've got a little bit different gear case that has a different gear ratio than like a Yamaha or a Mercury. So typically you're running like a pitch higher prop on those two. So, yeah, I haven't run it yet, but, curious if those low water pickups, which is kind of the main difference, like make a difference on it. It's one of the most reliable outboards made. The performance is not going to be, you know, really close to like a Mercury or a Yamaha, except maybe on that low end of things. But on the top end, typically from Suzuki's, we've seen about 4 miles an hour less on top versus a Mercury or a Yamaha. But I haven't seen one break yet. Granted, we haven't done as many of those as the other brands. So I think the number of units built aspect is important to factor in there too.
But they're doing a few things to inch closer and close the gap, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's good to see. And Suzuki makes a good motor. So it's good to see. I hope they can keep pushing that so we have more bass boat options. I think competition's good. So yeah, love to see a few more Suzuki's on some transoms. It's just they're kind of tough to order with certain brands. The Camus is Suzuki ready, so if you're looking Camus, I can get that with the Suzuki, and we can do repowers too. In fact, we got some, if you got a smaller boat, we got some 115s or 150s in stock, I think. I might even have some 200s.
Yeah, very cool.
But yeah,
So what are people doing these days? How long are they taking out on finances for these new bass boats these days? What are you seeing?
It depends. Everybody's a little bit different in their situation. We've got really good financing options. If you've got good enough credit history and whatnot, we typically see on those boats with a less of a down payment, usually 12 to now we're seeing up to 20-year loans. But we've also got a lot of people that'll do a five to 8 year note, you know, so it just depends. it's hard to put a most category in there. I don't do the financing myself. I'd be curious how that would shake out if I looked at that data a little bit more. But a lot of people doing that 12 to 15 year note and 20 as well.
Nice. Austin, it might be probably May for the official boat reveal. I might give some hints on the after hours, the members only stream tonight, or might give a sneak or let the secret out.
It's going to be fun. Tonight. I don't want to spoil your fun, Rich. I'd love to. It's kind of itching at me now, but I won't do it.
Does the hull warranty transfer owners on Dexus?
I believe so, without having it in front of me. Don't quote me on that, but I believe so.
You never fished the opens, have you?
No, I've been thinking about it, but the schedule's dang far away. And part of the struggle I've been having is our busiest time at work is kind of that January to May time. And then fishing happens, and I'm tournament fishing and working in the summer. So a lot of those opens events happen kind of in that season, along with, I don't know, dude, the James River doesn't sound like that fun to fish. I just, I wish there was a division that was a little bit closer, because I'd have been trying by now, but, I'm maybe too humble. I've always wanted to try, but I know I don't, but I've always wanted to.
Yeah. Are you fishing the Champ Tour again this year?
I am. Yeah. I'm excited to get back after it there. So I like five fish tournaments better, just to be straight with you, but, I get really mad when I don't like catch them, or when I feel like I have unfinished business somewhere, I guess. And the Champions Tour is just it was an extremely addicting format for me. And, I'm a little bit hooked, to be honest. I've kind of fought it right away. But I gained more respect for that format after fishing it, to be honest with you.
I think it's fine as long as you have the practice time to put into it.
That's a big deal.
The problem is you can't show up in every fish counts tournament and
no.
practice for a day and a half and everybody's been there for a week.
I can't. I know guys like a buddy of mine, James Chapman, dude, he's really good at just rolling into a derby and smashing them. And I always do a little bit better with not too much practice, but just the right amount. So, but to me, the Champions Tour is such a mental, it's more of a mental strain than you could ever anticipate. And it's constant versus a five fish derby. You have time to breathe and drink a Gatorade, you feel like. At Champions Tour, you're so anxious after that first half, you can't even eat the lunch they serve you. So like it's very mentally draining, and it's very mentally intense, just because of that score tracker real time. You always have to be catching them. So it'll mess with your style in your head if you let it. And it definitely got the best of me kind of the first tournament last year. But Red Blazer's available, and that thing is absolutely pristine.
Yeah, that's a sharp looking boat.
It is.
I've seen it there.
Yep. And it's fast, it's fun. It's your Tuesday night league fishing special. Only 162 hours on the engine, a Yamaha VMAX, so you know it's good. Minn Kota Fortrek, so she's a slop fishing special. And she's got a couple Lowrances in it, and is just very well taken care of. And it's got good juju as well. I know the guy who fished off of it, he just wiped it down every time, but probably one of
the it's got good frog mojo, right?
It's the best frog mojo boat that I'm aware of. Probably the best frog fisherman I know fished out of that boat before we got it. So,
yeah, Lauren, if you, you have to hop over to the YouTube for the after party. So there's on the YouTube, under the description, there's a join button if you want to do that. But you have to join the YouTube gang. All right. Best boat for the way I drive would probably be a duck boat with a what do they call the motor with the
mud motor?
The mud motor. That's probably the best for me. Thomas says Chad Ranky supposedly ordered a Phoenix last time.
Oh yeah. I think Chad's a good dude. Yeah.
This is a great age-old question. Single counsel or dual counsel?
That depends how long it takes your wife to do your makeup, do her makeup, or how much she's coming with you, or, you know, tournament partner preferences and that sort of thing. So to me, it depends if you're more comfort driven or convenience driven, I would say. If you like more space in the boat, the single console is going to give you a lot more room. The big thing with like a single console is, so there's that spot to rig rods, right?
Yeah.
Where that console is, where you can open your rod locker and that center compartment and get to both things, versus if it's in the middle, you have to kind of sit down on that step a little bit more, or you're sitting on that center locker grabbing rods, and then to grab tackle to say put on said rods, you've got to move a little bit. So like the convenience of that single console and being able to rig and prepare your things is really nice, especially also netting fish. Pandemonium happens if you catch a big one sometimes. So, you know, tripping over things, running the front or back deck is less of a thing with the single console. I'm a single console guy, but I'm young and stupid. So that's something to consider. A dual console, if you're the passenger and James Chapman's driving, is a recommendation for sure. And then there's certain passenger consoles that are going to, like, the design of that console makes a big difference in terms of like how much added room and convenience you have. So like the Vexus console is very, you know, it kind of bows in like this, so your rod tips aren't banging into it and whatnot. And the Camus console is also a very good design. And the Phoenix console is also a real good design. So those passenger consoles maybe don't take up as much space. And then some passenger consoles are removable, and yeah, it depends which, you know, scientist or engineer you talk to on that. Certain companies are like, if there's any chance of failure, we don't do it. So we do fixed consoles. And then you've got some brands that are like, nah, we tested this removable one and it works great. So, like the Triton removable console was great. The Camus removable console is my favorite if you're looking at a kind of a tandem package. Followed by the Phoenix, I guess.
Yeah. So some of the newer ones are.
Yeah.
Because there was, like, when they first came out, it was kind of like removable, but it wasn't like really like constant. Like it was like.
Yeah.
But like, now some of the newer ones, you can kind of pop them in and out like day to day almost. So that's.
Yep.
If you're kind of on the fence, and if that's a deal breaker for the family, then getting one of those that has a removable option is probably the way to go.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, if it's fixed, I mean, like there's certain boats where a fixed console doesn't take away as much convenience as say others. The removable ones seem to take away a little bit more convenience when you have them in, versus the non-removable ones. They do design a little bit for that, for a little bit of convenience. So it just depends. But I think, Rich, you're spot on.
Yeah, I think I saw a video, you said you got like 74 out of the CX-20.
Yeah, and
I've heard of people getting a little more than that out of it, but
yeah, they beefed up the glass a little bit. So if you got like one of the first CX-20s ever built, those like real fast. I think they beefed it up a little bit. So it's a 72 to 75 mile an hour boat, but like the big thing with that CX-20 is whether you have just you in the boat and a light load, or you, your buddy, Thorn Brothers department worth of fishing tackle, and, you know, 4 lead acid batteries, it's going to do within a mile an hour of what it does loaded versus unloaded. So that's really like the unique kind of really cool thing about the Camus. And it's due to that wider running pad, and it just really doesn't seem to care what weight you have in it.
Yeah, I was, when I filled the live wells, I couldn't tell a difference.
Dude, it's amazing. It's really impressive what they did with that. It's the fastest accelerating boat from like 0 to 69 that we carry, or probably to 74. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, welcome to Team Hella, Lauren. Glad you made it over.
We got to do welcome, Lauren.
Where is it here? I should be better at this by now. The one of us joins the team. That's awesome. Appreciate it. We're gonna probably do the giveaway here pretty soon if we're gonna make it in time for the after hours. So let me set that up quick. Let's do one question. I'll get that ready. I'd say they're considerably more fuel efficient than from the 90s, which would be like late XR6, early EFI.
Yep. The Mercury Optimax is still the most fuel efficient motor I think that's ever been built as far as like fuel efficiency, but the new ones, like the new four strokes, are not far off. DBX19, Joe, August, September, that's been a hot boat. So that's one of the further out builds right now. Those are in August, September.
All right. So if you want a pair of sungloves from Arsenal Fishing, hashtag gloves, enter a comment. You only need to do it once. You'll start collecting entries. Have you got a pair of these yet, Aaron?
I honestly need a pair because I'm bad at wearing sunscreen. So
yeah, I wore them all last end of summer, fall. I was pretty impressed with them.
Yeah, Dan always has good clothes. Yeah. So I'll hit him up for some. I've been digging his bags, them waterproof ones. Yeah, those are what I need in life, because I've been shredding through gallon Ziplocs. And
I finally like stopped shredding gallon Ziploc bags and just creating an environmental disaster in the world by just going through. And so far, this will be one season on these. Pretty impressed with these.
Yeah, I like that you can see in them and they don't like fade like the Ziplocs, where I don't know what the hell.
Like, that's the thing is, like, after like a few months, I can't tell what's in the Ziploc anymore.
Yeah.
And the Sharpie wipe, you know.
It gets bad.
Wears off, and then they get cloudy, and you can't see.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. All right, we're getting a few more of these in here. Andrew does write some good notes from Omnia when you order from Omnia. Oh, we should talk about that. I saw a promo on
that's awesome.
On Instagram the other day about
Andrew. Omnia. You're a good dude from the sounds of it.
But what isn't Omnia doing something with your a promo with your demo day or something?
Oh, I thought they were buying Andrew a blazer, but I could be wrong. Yeah, no, they've got a sweet promo for our demo day. Those guys are awesome over at Omnia. And when I meant tournament load, I meant an Omnia tournament load. And they're giving one away at our demo event coming up May 1st. So, like, if you're on the fence about a certain boat, we carry, you know, multiple boat brands because we like to be completely honest with people about, you know, what we carry, because they end up happier at the end of the day with their purchase. So it's cool. Brian, Adam, and JP put an awesome event together on Lord Fletcher's May 1st on Lake Minnetonka. So you can drive Camus boats, Vexus boats, Phoenix boats. I think we're going to have a Crest pontoon there. Think we're gonna have a Triton or two there, maybe. It's all on our website, so you can check out our website and find all that information. We do prefer if you reserve a spot in advance. So if you could give us a call and kind of reserve your test drive, we try to update this and give you the available slots. But even if you want to learn about bass boats and best way to learn is to get in a bunch of them. So if you want to see what a Phoenix is made out of, a Camus and a Vexus, aluminum or fiberglass, it's really a great time to look through these boats. And really, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to feel it. So we're excited to be able to offer that.
Yeah. And I guess, didn't I see that, like, if you end up ordering a boat because of the demo day,
yeah,
it comes with an Omnia
$1,000 gift card.
$1,000 gift card to Omnia, which you can use the code from me, and then that turns into an $1,150 gift card with our discount code.
Holy, yeah! There's no reason not to do that. I mean, seriously, wow.
So yeah, I think I'm going to make it. I'll be working security at the dock.
Okay,
make sure people don't get too handsy with Sobey or anything. So I'll be working security probably.
He needs it. He needs it. He's got to fight him off sometimes.
So there's test drives. Is there anything else going on? like
test drives. If you guys were wanting to see like the new Mega Live, Tim Winterhalter is going to be there with a Vexus walleye boat, and he does a lot of the beta testing for Humminbird and stuff. So if you wanted to see a lot of that new Humminbird product in action, he's offering that. And if you had questions about Humminbird stuff, he will be there. He's going to be a busy guy, so just be aware of that, and be aware of his time, because we're not scheduling that stuff out as much. But yeah, mostly just test drives and hanging out. So, I mean, if you want to bring a couple crappie poles, I mean, there's no reason we can't go find a hole quick either. If the weather's bad, I'll be needing something to do. So if somebody's got rain gear and wants to come, if it's snowing, you know.
Do you provide snacks or anything? Or
I think there's food there, yeah. So I think they feed you without, like, I'm not the organizer of this deal. So I don't want to throw anybody under the bus if there's not food. But last year, I think there was. So I think there might be some food. I know Lord Fletcher's has it, and I think there might be a special room with some definitely more cost-effective options.
Sean says one of these is his spot. He's reserved.
Oh, sweet. Look forward to seeing you, Sean. What's he driving? I don't have my computer up right now.
Sobe should be driving, what, the AVX 1980?
Yep. His is on its way, but he's going to have a swanky 1980 this year. And, yeah, if it shows up on time, it'll be his, or else I'm pulling on Johnston Westmoreland's leg for his boat, and he might let Sobe drive it.
But that's, if you want to just go with a joyride with Sobe, that's the one to sign up for, is the 1980.
Yeah, or else we have a tandem white, tandem axle white AVX 1980 on the show floor. If somebody picks that up next week and wants to give test drives, I might throw a discount on it even.
There you go.
If Johnston bails on me, which I don't think he will, but.
Jacob said he'll bring some snacks.
We got snacks, Jacob. Don't worry about it.
Joe wants to know, is Camus coming out with any other sizes in their multi-species rig?
Yes.
Probably.
Yep. So they're going to have right now they've got the DV22. So that's 2110. So they're coming out with a 20-foot or 21-foot version, depending how you round things. This fall is the plan. And then the following year or after that, a 19. So about a year out on the 20, I would say, or 20-foot tenor. And then about 2 years out on the 19.
There you go. So if you want to go for a ride, Tonka, May 1st. Phone number, that's how you reserve a spot.
And look forward to seeing you, Jake. Thank you.
Time to do the glove giveaway. 52 people. 100 and some people watching. Only 52 people want a shot at the gloves.
A lot of sunscreen.
This is a long drive to Atlanta from Atlanta to take a test drive.
I mean, it depends. Do you have frequent flyer miles, Will?
There you go.
You fly in.
Yep. That's cool. Sobe's a decent guy. He's pretty fun to go on the boat with.
Yeah, he's an okay time. Yeah, he's about, yeah, no, that's about the best dude to ride in the boat with. He's a blast. Been fortunate to spend some time with him in the boat. He's a good dude.
All right, let's see. Can we get two more people to enter? Get up to 55. There we go. One more, and then we'll draw. Hit 55, we'll draw. All right, there we go. It's happening. This is so exciting. Tyler Schneider. There you go, Tyler. Congratulations. You are the winner. Send me a DM on Facebook or Instagram or rich@richlinger.com. Email. Get a hold of me. Get your address. And then also remember, members only, coming up here in about 15, 20 minutes, we're going to do another pair just for the members tonight. Say thanks to those who are members. All right. Member. Well, let's talk a little fishing here in the last 10 minutes.
My language.
What have you been out yet?
I went to Florida in February. Always wanted to go down there for like multiple days. I've spent like one day at a time, sure, a few times down there. So myself, Dane Veselka, Justin Pinkerton, and PJ, who's a fishing guide on Tonka, went down there, and that was a blast. But other than that, the boat I'm running is supposed to be here this week. So might make it down to South Dakota, but honestly, work has been nuts, and I'm trying to, you know, bank up a few hours before my tournaments. And also, it's just the busiest, it's the craziest spring I've seen in the boat biz. So it's been all hands on deck there, but I've been dying to go. I'd love to go to South Dakota or Iowa right now.
Yeah, me too. It's between weather and kids' hockey tournaments and gymnastics. It's like I'm gonna miss some of my kids' hockey games just to go fish a derby with Banger here in a couple weeks. Yeah. I mean, when we go out practicing, that'll be the first day. Will be the so if he hasn't asked yet, he needs the 22nd of April off to go fishing.
He's down at Lake Fork right now, so yeah. He's just gonna have to put in extra hours, I guess. Yeah. What are you guys fishing?
We're gonna fish the first term of the TBF Team Trail down the river.
See, even right now, Pepin's really fun. So Pepin and the river is a blast in the spring. So that'd be probably my third choice.
I've been to Texas a handful of times. Fork, Amistad, Lake Fork, Falcon. I don't know. Have you been to Texas?
It's on my bucket list. It was between Florida and Texas this year. And I know the Florida lakes and area a little bit better. And I know Texas just gets a pile of pressure. But I'll be there before I die for sure. I've always wanted to go. It looks like a blast. Sean Haig lives down there now and looks fun.
I'm not sure what this means, but
I'd be happy to if I knew what that was or what that all entailed. And maybe not, but
I am not, Chad. I think I need to next year, because this is the 20. I think next year is the 25th, so I think I need to make it a priority to make that happen for next year. Is to fish. I've never fished the Jude. I've got a little more experience in the spring, but I think I need to next year, because I feel like also with all you guys and the support of the channel and everything, I think we could raise a lot of money for St. Jude, and that's kind of my biggest motivation. And like with this year, with the boat situation and me waiting way too long to order it, and all that uncertainty, but next year I think I'll be in a good position to do that, and I think we could. To collectively, this community, I think, could raise some really good money for, cancer research in St. Jude. So,
yeah, I agree, Rich. I don't fish it. Bankston fishes it each year, and we're kind of the two fishing boat guys at work. And May is by far like our busiest month. So I get like one to maybe two tournaments in May. And if I'm going to pick one that's not like a trail I fish, I'm going to Sturgeon Bay to fish the Sturgeon Bay Open. And I've had to skip that a couple of years now for the team trail stuff. So, usually May is a really busy month for me. But the St. Jude, I think, is probably one of the best run events there is. And it's such a good cause. And it's if you have time to fish that, that's a good one.
Right on. That's very honorable of you, Rich. Are you going to pay my entry fees too? And I'll put in a member stream link for those that are here that plan to go to the members. I'm just putting that in the chat right now. Jake says he's bringing in the boat into Intune for a hot foot at the end of the month. There you go.
Good. Right on. Yeah. Hot foots are fun. They're safe too. Good safety feature. Yep.
Yeah. Didn't the I mentioned to see, because I believe like the one cool thing about the if I'm not wrong, the Evinrudes, the G2s, right? Didn't they have a where you could switch back and forth between the hot foot and the throttle?
Yep. And you can get an add-on for the Verado for that too. But because that's all fly by wire digital throttle and shift, so there's no cables running up, so to speak. So the foot pedal or hot foot, so to speak, there was no physical cable to it. So it feels a lot more like a car pedal in terms of like there's less resistance to it. So, but due to that being all electronic, that allows you to switch, and it just depends on the brand and those things. But the Verado, you still can do that, along with the that G2 had that auto trim feature, which I'm not really a fan of, but the Verado, you can get that auto trim feature too.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I think with all the graphing and stuff that people do these days, that being able to go back and forth, because when you're out graphing a long time, the hot foot is a downside, or when you're on extremely long runs.
That's valid. Yep.
But most of the biggest advantage is two hands on the wheel in rough water. And when you're really letting her hang out and let her eat, it's a lot safer, I think. And then you put the trim tabs, either blinkers or on the switch. And so it's two hands on the wheel. And then it's more like driving. It's more responsive. You can, in rough water, when you're trying to feather it over waves, so much easier to hold a bow than try to like steer and do this. And so it's pretty nice.
I remember I fished a couple tournaments on Mille Lacs in my 18 and a half foot Stratus. And then a particular tournament on Leech with Mark Shirley, where it was like my arm was so sore from feathering the boat, trying not to spear the next wave in front of me, that you're just dead at the end of the day. And a hot foot, you can kind of brace up and, you know, go up. It just feels a lot better. But
yeah, I wouldn't personally. I know Randy Blockett came out with a video like, this is why you don't want a hot foot. But I don't know. I think the hot foot has more advantages than disadvantages in my book by a lot.
Well, I'll speak firsthand. I crashed a boat and almost died, and I think a hot foot might have saved me that day. So I have firsthand experience of the safety aspect with a hot foot. So it's definitely, because that throttle, hand throttle, once you push it down, it stays there. So you put both hands on the wheel, that throttle's mashed down. So if you have a steering failure, you're way less quick to get, you know, to that issue, so to speak, especially if you don't have a lot of room or you're running fast, like a lot of these boats go. Having the fact where if you move from the seat or leave something, having that throttle pull back is a huge deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, we're hit the 90-minute mark. We're supposed to start the members only here in about 5 minutes. And I need a little bit of a bio break, but we didn't get as much fishing, but I think a lot of people were here to talk boats and we got a lot of questions answered.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And if people didn't get their question answered, you can always call up Aaron and the team at Intune, and they'll talk boats and all kinds of stuff. So.
Yeah. So Brian and Colin are our main sales guys, but I kind of fill in for them. So you have questions, you need anything, Brian's in Fork right now. So I'm working the sales floor rest of the week here. Happy to help.
Be at the demo day. People can say hi in person there.
I will be there. Yep. I will be present and ready to drive boats, walk through any questions anybody has, and look forward to talking boats and fishing. So,
and I plan to be there for a chunk hanging out.
Look forward to that.
Toby, a bunch of other guys, Bartusik. I don't know if that's a selling point or not.
Yeah, it depends.
But a lot of people to talk fishing. So if you just got the itch to get out and be around some boats and talk to a bunch of fish heads, the demo day is the place to be.
Yep. Whether you like to walleye fish, we're gonna have walleye guys who've run these boats through the mill. We'll have bass guys who've run these boats through the mill, and then our sales staff will be there. I think we may even have some service guys there. So if you had any questions or anything like that, there should be all hands on deck. So
yeah. And obviously if you came in late, you can catch the replay on Facebook or YouTube, or you can download and listen to it on the podcast form, search Hellabass. And appreciate everybody. So as always, here to help you guys catch more bass and suck less. And we'll see some of you guys over at the members only here in a few minutes.
Thanks again for having me, Rich. Really appreciate it. You guys, thanks for tuning in. This was awesome.
Are you gonna peek in the members? Or you got something?
Yeah, else? I'm gonna stick around. Can I become a member? Or you can let me in?
We'll let you in.
Cool.
You get an honorary badge.
I appreciate it. Cool. Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, let's
see. Right. See everybody in a little bit.
See you guys. Thank you.
As always, thanks to all of you that hung in till the end of this podcast. This has been another episode of the Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast Experience. Please consider sharing this with any of your bass and buddies and friends. This is the best way for podcasts to grow is through word of mouth. Also, don't forget to search Hellebass on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or just about anywhere else so that we can connect in more ways. As always, here to help you catch more bass and suck less.